Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki ja. Translation. Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a coward man, became like fire burning the root of the demon's throat. And the demon Bakasur immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Purport. Although Krishna is always as soft as lotus within the throat of Bakasur, he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasur tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stitavya bhajam yaham. When Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee, who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here this is shown by the example of Bakasur. Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishay Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we have got this again a wonderful opportunity to discuss the childhood pastimes of Krishna. And here we are continuing reading about the episode of Bakasur, that how Bakasur has been swallowed by Krishna. And then in today's verse is throwing him out. So it is very wonderful that every morning we get to hear the glories of Krishna from the lotus mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. Just a few months before we came here, we had Srila Prabhupada's son, Vrindavan Chandra De, who came to our Bhaktivedanta hospital for some treatment. And of course, after the treatment, we were speaking to him. And hearing about Srila Prabhupada from somebody so close as his own son, and we especially heard from him about, he was the only person known to us who actually came to drop Prabhupada at the Calcutta port. So he was there. So it was extremely nectarine to just hear. Even though we have heard this story n number of times. Prabhupada catching the Jaladuta. N number of times. But hearing it from the lips of Vrindavan Chandra De Prabhu was very, very sweet. And we got to understand that, yes, when we hear about Prabhupada from the books, it is very nice. It becomes more sweeter and more sweeter when we hear it from people who were close to Prabhupada. So, and somebody like Vrindavan Chandra De, who actually has witnessed that very, very historic episode, it became extremely sweet. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is anyway very sweet. The passing of Krishna, very, very sweet. But when we hear from Shukha Mukha, from the lotus mouth of Shukadev Goswami every day morning, it becomes more and more sweet. And with that sweetness, when we hear the Bhagavatam and we understand the Bhagavatam with the tikas, the purports of our acharyas, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the Bhagavatam becomes more sweet. And of course, in our modern day context, when we hear the same purports and Srila Prabhupada when he was dictating the Bhaktivedanta purports, he was referring to all the tikas of all the acharyas, and when he gave us the Bhaktivedanta purports, it becomes more and more sweet. That is the great fortune we have to hear something which is anyway sweet. Krishna's pastimes are sweet. We have sang the Madhura Astakam, right? Everything about Krishna is very sweet. Venu, Madhura, Pado, Madhura, Vichim. Everything about Krishna is sweet, Vallabhacharya writes. But that same sweetness becomes many, many fold when we hear it from Sukhdeva Goswami, and much, much more sweeter when we hear the tikas of acharyas. So, while every day morning we sit to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, it can be a wonderful reminder, not for all of us, that we are so very fortunate. That every day morning, what do people in general, 95% of people, how do they start their morning? By reading the newspaper. The first thing, I don't know what's the culture here in Britain, but in India, the first thing people just want to get up off the bed and go straight to the place, to the door, where the newspaper person has dropped the newspaper. Even before brushing their teeth, they want to just read the newspaper. And nowadays, even newspapers not there on the phone, they want to read everything. And they begin their day with what is there in the news. And it's all about, artha, karma, hardly in dharma and moksha. It's all over artha and karma. It's just about economic prosperity, fighting and wars and everything. But we are so fortunate that if we take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's process, then every day morning, as explained by Prabhupada, we are bathing our consciousness. Like we take bath from head to toe. We bathe and we make a body clean. Similarly, Bhagavatam, we are bathing our consciousness with the wonderful Krishna Katha. And there is no limit to how fortunate we all of us are to be really absorbed in Krishna, and that too hearing from people who are 100% absorbed in Krishna. So this is something which is very, very wonderful, because the fact is, as I was thinking, that there is no option but to be absorbed. Everybody has to be absorbed in something. Either you are absorbed in Krishna, as we say, either you are part of the solution. If you're not part of the solution, you're automatically part of the problem. You don't have to be part of the problem. You are automatically part of the problem, because it's just binary, it's just two. So similarly, we ought to be part of the problem, and we ought to be not absorbed in Krishna, then we are absorbed in Maya. A verse just comes to my mind from the second canto of Bhagavatam. It says that a person who is not very at any time receive the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotees upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Very interesting. And what is very interesting is in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he says that a breathing dead body, what is a breathing dead body? A breathing dead body is nothing but a ghost. And Prabhupada says breathing dead, because he's saying that if you don't taste, if you not smell the tulsi, if you have not, you know, just got the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas upon your head, then you are breathing, but you are a dead body. So a breathing dead body, Prabhupada explains, is a ghost. That means a person is haunted by a ghost. Now, who wants to be haunted? But we are haunted if we are not having Krishna in our, if we are not Krishna conscious, then we are haunted. So the only choice we have, if you see from the purport, Prabhupada writes, the only choice we have is either to be captured by Krishna's love or to be haunted by Maya's atrocities. Just we have only two choices. There is no third choice. Either to be completely captured by Krishna's love, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's pastimes, or to be haunted by Maya's atrocities. There is no other option. So here, you know, we are trying to be absorbed in Krishna's pastimes, and by doing so, you know, we get rid of the ghost of Maya. We want to get rid of this ghostly personality who is haunting us. And when you're haunted, you know, then you are controlled. You don't know, you can't do what you want, because the ghost within you makes you do things. And that's the desire of sense gratification, which is like a haunting ghost, but does not allow us to do what we need to do. And what is it that we really need to do? To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. But when we are haunted, we can't do that. So in this beautiful pastime, you know, Bakasur is he has thrown out Krishna. Now we understand that why is Krishna Prasad so special? We say that Krishna Prasad is non-different than Krishna. And we have beautiful prayers. Sayana Amrita Pao Radha Krishna Gungao. It is like Amrit. We have Prasadam prayers. And how many beautiful, extreme, exciting, adventurous stories are there in our ISKCON society of people going to such extremes to get Krishna Prasad. I mean, so many stories I heard of New Vrindavan, which was, this was austere place of devotees. They were ready to, you know, make whole plots, whole plans to steal the Mahaprasad. I mean, it was a whole systematic plan. It was like a gang planning to really rob something. That when the head pujari is gone, they drew a map. I know a devotee was involved. They drew a map that this is the way we can enter into all, and this time we can open the fridge and get them. I mean, people go to such extent to get Mahaprasad. Why is it? Because Prasad is so attractive. I mean, Mahaprasad is Krishna's mercy. And we say Prasad is non-different than Krishna. Now, can you imagine somebody swallowing Krishna himself? I mean, he should be feeling so ecstatic, right? When you eat prasad, you feel so nice. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. But can you imagine Bakasur swallowed Krishna himself? So he should have actually been in ecstasy. Because we are talking about prasad, which is non-different than Krishna. But Bakasur was fortunate to actually swallow Krishna himself, which is personification of prasad. So he should have been ecstatic. But what is explained? That it was such a miserable experience. And explained the purport by Prabhupada that he found Krishna so bitter. Krishna must be so damn bitter for him that he couldn't even tolerate Krishna in his mouth. He just threw him out. Like, for example, when we eat something and something is very hot, right? Something is very, very hot. We just want to throw it out. That's just so disgusting, isn't it? Or something is just so, you know, I remember many, many years back, somebody had offered a cake and it was looking so nice. This was in the 1980s, a beautiful cake, and I saw on the altar, and I was the pujari offering the cake. So it was a struggle for me not to, you know, eat before Krishna. But mentally, I was already honoring it every second. I was, offering, struggle. I was offering. And then can you imagine the anticipation I had that when it's offered, Krishna is eaten, then you go out, change address, and I wanted to honor because the pujari got a small portion of the Mahaprasad as a quota. So I just took that cake and literally I was, I offered my prayers and I was preparing myself. This is such a nice cake. And I bit the cake and it was horrible. Because the cook, instead of sugar, he had put lemon crystals. You know, they look the same. You know that lemon crystal, you get it here? They look just like sugar. It's extremely concentrated, you know, intense lemon. So they put loads and loads of lemon crystals. They look the same. And it was atrocious. So I to the extent I was anticipating, to the extent I want to throw it out. It's horrible. Because the taste was horrible. Now, can you imagine, you know, usually you will not throw Mahaprasad away. You want to honor it because you want to gulp it as Mahaprasad. But Bakasur, can you imagine what sort of experience he must have had that he threw Krishna away. And if you correlate this to Srila Prabhupada's various purports, he said that when you taste a sweet thing and you still taste the sweet thing bitter, then you are in the jaundice situation. Well, when you are jaundice, when you put sweet thing, it tastes bitter. And what is the solution? What is the proof that you are getting rid of your jaundice? That slowly, slowly, the sweet thing starts appearing to be sweet to you. Otherwise, it is jaundice. You just can't taste it. Right? So what was the situation of Bakasur? He was in an extremely jaundiced situation. There was a serious liver malfunction that Bakasur had. That he couldn't... The sweetest of all sweet things was in his mouth. I mean, cannot be anything sweeter than Krishna. And he was fortunate that in one shot he gulped Krishna inside. But in a matter of seconds, he just threw him out. So this jaundice situation is nothing but our nature to enjoy separate from God. The desire that we want to enjoy separate from God, that why should, that's the purpose why we find ourselves, Prabhupada explains that why we find ourselves in this material world, because we saw Krishna enjoying and we question, why Krishna, you should enjoy, why not I? Sorry, this is not a place for you, go down. And that's why all those jaundiced people are sent to this hospital to get their liver back to normal and taste the sweet thing sweet and see Krishna. And it is in Krishna's happiness is our happiness. When we come to that situation, we are rid of that jaundice. And when we see the sweetest of sweetest things enjoying and we find our great happiness in seeing Krishna enjoying, that is what we are here to for information. So we are trying to get rid of our jaundice situation because it's become our second nature to enjoy separate from God. Just a story which I came across some time back, that a disciple went to a spiritual master. So, oh Gurudev, please give me your blessings. I am going to the holy pilgrimage. And I am going to be away for 15 days, going to very various holy dhams. So the spiritual master said, oh, I bless you. But my request is, please take few pieces of karelas with you, bitter gourd. And the disciple said, what? I said, no, just take it and then wherever you go, just take it with you. I said, okay, as per your instructions. So the disciple went with the bitter gourd everywhere. And then he came back and he said, Gurudev, I was so happy. Everything was such a wonderful thing. I said, did you get that bitter gourd? Did you take it with you? Yes, I took it. I said, can you make a sabji of the bitter gourd for me? Because it is so special. That bitter gourd has gone to all the holy places. So I want to taste the sabji. I said, oh, sure. So the disciple made a sabji of Karela. And then the spiritual master took the first piece. I said, oh, it's bitter. But the disciple said, but it ought to be bitter, Gurudev. I mean, how can... I said, exactly. I said, just like going to the holy place will not change the nature of the bitter God, it will remain bitter. Till the time you don't change your nature, you can go to so many things, you can chant Hare Krishna for 20 years, you can go to the holy places, you can do everything, but the basic nature of the living entity to enjoy separate from God does not go till the time you actually work hard to go deep within your heart and change your nature. Because the nature of bitter God, Karela, is to be bitter. Similarly, it has become a second nature of a living entity to enjoy separate from God. And we feel that, let me do so many things, and we do so many things, and we still ask the same question. Why is it that there is no change? On one side, it is definitely an act of humility. Great souls, they also feel that, you know, there is no change. They are still attached to sense gratification. Gopinath, Mama Nivedana Shuno, Vishai Durjana, Sada Kamarata, Kichu Nahi Moraguna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that, oh Gopinath, Mama Nived, please hear my Nivedan, please hear my request. Vishai Durjana, that I am a Durjana, I am a low class person, Vishai, I am a sense gratifier, Vishai Durjana, Sada Kamaratha, that I am constantly bound by lust. Kichu Nahi Moraguna, I have no good qualities. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing this, It is just his deep humility. He is just showing his deep humility, because, you know, as a person advances in Krishna consciousness, you know, he sees Krishna so big, and parallel to seeing Krishna too big, he sees himself so small. Because both things are required. When you want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, you not only have to see the glory of Krishna and seeing Krishna big, but if you find yourself also growing with Krishna, then you don't really realize Krishna, because you say, well, I'm also great. But the wonderful quality of a wonderful practice of Krishna consciousness is when you see Krishna growing big, and to that extent you become smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and insignificant. That's the ideal situation. Krishna, you are great, you are Vibhu, I'm simply Anu. I'm very infinitesimally small. So it's our nature, and till the time we actually don't work on a deep level, that means not just chanting, but intense chanting. But just chanting will not change your nature. It will be very superficial. But whatever you do is with intensity. Because as explained, that there is one thing to chant Hare Krishna, but there's another thing to really intensely chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. It's one thing to attend the class every day, or said, I'm sitting the class. But it's another thing to really gather the nectar coming from the Bhagavatam every day with intensity. It's one thing to just come in from the Lord and say, oh Radha Gokulananda, you're so beautiful. By the way, the Pujari has not done this properly. This could have been this proper. There's one thing to do like that and just come for darshan and still have our fly mentality on and find mistakes. But it's one thing to come in from the deities and say, intensely pray, that Krishna, I need your mercy. Let my day be nice. Let me always be conscious of you and pray and take blessings. Right? That intensity, that intense Krishna consciousness, what Bhaktivedanta Maharaj explained, that emergency consciousness, he beautifully explained when he came to Radha Gopinath many, many years back. He was explaining, and it was one of his hallmark of his personality. He said that devotees need to be in that emergency consciousness. What happens, you know, when there's a war and there's sirens being sounded everywhere and there's emergency, and you know that anytime the enemy is going to bomb your city. You can't be spaced out. You can't be watching a movie and eating popcorn. You can't be just so spaced. You need to be intense. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj explained that we need to have that emergency consciousness. To create that emergency consciousness, that intensity when we do our Krishna consciousness bhakti. And then the nature will change. Otherwise we'll remain like the Karela, no matter whatever you do. You would peel off the Karela and make a sabji. It's going to be bitter. It's not going to change. Right? So that intensity is required. So, Krishna, while we are talking about the nature of our living entity, which otherwise is going to be just in a sense gratification. And what is nature of Krishna? Because Bhagavatam is talking about always we need to do that. What is nature of Krishna and what is nature of the jiva soul, the jivatma? What is the nature of the paramatma and what is the nature of the atma? Krishna's nature is so beautifully explained in this verse. Krishna says, I have been reciprocating love with everybody since time immemorial. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sthitavya bhajam yaham. That is Krishna's nature. That is, if you ask, what is Krishna's job description as God? Everybody needs to have a job description, right? What is your temple manager? This. What is Krishna's job description? What is it that he does? The only thing that he does is constantly reciprocating with every living entity, and that is a big job. What is there? What does Krishna does in the Vrindavan? He's reciprocating with the coward boys. But parallelly, when he's reciprocating with coward boys, there's a beautiful flower, which when the flower sees Krishna, the flower becomes very beautiful, and Krishna smiles at the flower. And seeing the flower smile, Krishna becomes more beautiful, and then flower becomes more beautiful. And that's what is explaining that this is eternally happening. Krishna is smiling, flower is smiling, and that's the spiritual world. Krishna is constantly reciprocating with every living entity. The flower, the peacocks is explained. The peacocks dance. This is explained in the Bhagavatam. That when peacocks dance, Krishna dances like a peacock. And when the peacock sees Krishna is dancing like us, they start dancing more. That's why in Barsana we have this beautiful place called Mor Kutir, where Radha and Krishna dance like peacocks. Right? And if we try to imitate, we look funny. But when Krishna dances like a peacock, he looks more beautiful than the peacock. And the peacock says, oh, this step I don't know. The way Krishna's this step is so beautiful. And the peacock imitates Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. When peacock sees Krishna dancing, because Krishna is Nataraj, he is the best of the dancers. When the peacock says, oh, this is a beautiful step of Krishna. And then the peacock does dancing. And that's what is happening. It's also explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Takan Krishna Leela Hari Prakriti Sundari Vistariche Shobhavane. Beautiful song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that when Prakriti Sundari, when the mother nature sees Krishna's beauty, then she constantly expands her beauty and to make the whole pastime of Krishna more and more beautiful. So Krishna is reciprocating with his devotees. And we also have this beautiful story of Krishna reciprocating with the cows. When Mother Yashoda said, Krishna, now you are going to the forest, you should wear chappals, you should wear slippers, because the forest is filled with all pebbles and thorns and everything. Then Krishna said, yes, I will wear chappals, but then all my cows, you know, all my cows, and how many cows did Nanda Maharaj have? Any numbers, you know? 9 lakh cows? Right? 900,000 cows? So that means multiplied by 4. That many sleepers you have to make for my cows. And when the cows heard that, because everything in Vrindavan, the cows also hear it. When the cows heard the love that Krishna has, they said, oh my God, Krishna loves us so much. So immediately, as the story goes, they ran out in herds and they started boom, 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 stamping on the floor. And I said, what are you doing? I said, Krishna loves us so much that he will not wear shoes till the time we wear it. So then we can't wear it. So then we want to just crush the floor and every small pebble, every stone, I want to crush so that Krishna, when he walks, there is no discomfort to Krishna. That is the reciprocation in spiritual world. Please let us appreciate and understand what is the spiritual world. Because if we have to go there someday, we need to know what's happening there. Yeah, that's the spiritual world. Krishna is constantly reciprocating. You also see how Krishna, when he came in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how wonderfully he was reciprocating. This whole verse is all about reciprocation. That way, the way Krishna reciprocated with Baka, it's explained in the verse, when Bakasur was seeing Krishna as a demon, then Krishna became the most bitter demon to him, because he saw him as a demon. Ye tamam prapadyante tam satavya bhajam yaham. So similarly, when Krishna was with Keshav, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Keshav Kashmiri, he was a simple, ordinary grammar teacher. But when Keshav Kashmiri came and he was posing himself to be a very, very big scholar, very proud. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, if this person thinks he's a scholar, then I have to reciprocate with him accordingly. So he said, oh my dear Keshav Kashmiri, you are a great scholar and so happy that you are here. Can you recite verses on Mother Ganges? So Keshav Kashmiri spontaneously, not that he had read, he composed, and while composing he was reciting. Can you imagine what a scholar he must be? It is not that something that he spoke which he heard from some other writers. He was composing glories of the Ganges and he was reciting. And everybody was shocked. Oh my God, 100 verses coming out like the raging wind. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, beautiful. What you recite is wonderful. Your poetry has many, many good qualities and many bad qualities. And Keshav Kashmiri said, bad qualities? My verses cannot have any bad qualities. I challenge you to find any bad qualities. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, as a beautiful story goes, we are just cutting it short. He said, in your 64th verse, you have used the word Bhavani Bhartu, and explains, this is a repetition. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very logically explained that this is wrongly used. And Keshav Kashmiri said, how did you remember the verses? And that's where the Yathamam Prabhadante comes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, you might be a great scholar and I am a great Shrutidhar. Just like you can be a scholar reciting, I am Shrutidhar, but whatever I hear once, I don't forget ever. So to impress Keshav Kashmiri, Krishna had, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to show his scholarship. So that's what recipient, when Keshav Kashmiri saw his scholarship, he was completely humbled. So Krishna does, as Prabhupada said, do the needful. And Krishna does this perfectly, to do the needful to attract a jiva soul's heart to his lotus feet. When it came time to interact with Prakashananda Saraswati, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really didn't use his scholarship, even though he was the scholar. And Prakashananda Saraswati was a sannyasi, but he knew that what will attract most Prakashananda Saraswati. Because they were all Mayavadis, Brahmavadis. So they were constantly meditating upon Brahman. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in a most insignificant place where people washed their feet when he went to meet Prakashananda. And he started emitting his effulgence, the Brahman effulgence. And when all the 60,000 disciples of Prakashananda Saraswati and Prakashananda Saraswati himself saw, they said, oh, what is this? They were amazed. They were all attracted to the Brahma effulgence. And when they saw, they said, oh, please come and sit with us. And they were attracted. And explained by in the CC, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, that Prakashananda Saraswati did some Agyata Sukriti by offering his hand to help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get up. And that Agyata Sukriti opened his heart to receive the mercy. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered through that small opening and just flooded the heart of Prakashananda Saraswati with unlimited devotional service. But he reciprocated. You like Brahman? Here I am, the original source of all Brahman. Then how did he reciprocate with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Sarvabhauma had a vatsalya ras that, oh, this is a young sannyasi. How will he maintain his sannyas? I need to instruct him. He's such a young sannyasi. So beautiful he is. I need to instruct him. And then he instructed him on the knowledge of the Vedanta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just sitting. With no questions, 7 days, just hearing. And then said, Sarvabhauma asks, do you understand what I am saying? You have not asked a single question to me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, the knowledge of the Vedanta is as brilliant as the sun, but your explanation, I'm sorry to say, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharyaji, your explanation is like that thick cloud which covers the sun. And Sarvabhauma said, oh, and then, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained from his side, and that completely changed the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who also was a Mayavadi. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu behaved like a simple student to Sarvabhauma, because he approached him as a father. He behaved as the source of Brahman effulgence to Prakashananda Saraswati, because he wanted to see that. And he approached as a great scholar to Keshav Kashmiri. So through this various beautiful interactions, we understand that Krishna has unlimited capacity to reciprocate with his devotees. Every single devotee, Krishna reciprocates. What an amazing quality of Krishna this is. That he's constantly reciprocating. And if you see that those devotees who are very, very close to Krishna, who are very intensely Krishna conscious, they will also get this quality of the ability to reciprocate with large number of devotees in a very wonderful way. And what can be a better example than Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada had this amazing capacity of dealing with all types of people. And many times we hear devotees, you know, from a particular country said, I just can't deal with Indian devotees. Sometimes we hear that, right? It's just too difficult. Or I just can't deal with Russian devotees. Or it's just so difficult to deal with this Bengalis. You know, we hear that. Why? Because we are not intensely Krishna conscious, but Prabhupada, just imagine his capacity. He could deal with a young hippies, American hippies, a old Bengali gentleman from Vrindavan had the wonderful expertise to deal with young, you know, revolting hippies. Can you imagine? Because what was the mentality of these hippies, as we heard, that they had a slogan that don't trust anyone above the age of 30. That was the hippie slogan. That don't trust anybody above 30. And Prabhupada was twice the age. So they should have twice not trusted Prabhupada. But Prabhupada had the capacity because at one point this disciple Prabhupada said, we didn't much understand the Bengali accent of Prabhupada because it was heavy Bengali accent, the English. So sometimes they didn't understand that. But they had complete conviction that this man has not come to cheat us. Prabhupada could deal with them and extract that trust from them. That was expertise of Prabhupada. Prabhupada would deal with young and old. Prabhupada would deal with rich and poor people. To the rich Indians, you know, people we met, the rich Indian businessmen in Jew temple, rather Ras Bihari Mandir. And he said, you see, you know, you people are trying to earn money. You see, I went with 40 rupees to America and see. And you see here, I have a British person fanning me. So I'm a better businessman than you. What are you guys doing business with? I'm a better businessman than you. And I have wealth which is not just from 40 rupees, I made it to 40 crores. So he had a tact to deal with businessmen and he had an expert tact to deal with scientists. And Prabhupada never said, oh, I don't want to deal with scientists. I can deal with devotees. But Prabhupada never, he was expert in everything. And why is it? It is not that the Prabhupada had just prepared himself, had done all sort of study of the psyche of an American or psyche of a Russian or psyche, because each of these countries have their own psyches. Prabhupada didn't do all the studies. He didn't do that. He went to a course to understand how do Americans think. No. Many times we do that, right? When I go to a country, I study on the internet, Google. I say, how do Russians think? I mean, sometimes you need to know that, you know. But Prabhupada was such an expert. We need to do this because we need to get knowledge from without. But for Prabhupada, the knowledge was coming from within. Because Krishna says, yogakshema vaham yam, that for person who surrendered to me, I carry what he has and supplies what he lacks. So Prabhupada was so expert in dealing with old and young, rich and poor, Americans and British and Russians and everybody. So this is what we need. A person who is intensely Krishna conscious, he gets that quality of Krishna. Krishna can deal with every living entity perfectly and reciprocate with them without making anybody upset. Everybody feels, and we have so many stories in Rasa Leela, everybody was thinking Krishna is playing with me. Krishna is looking only at me. The coward boys would always feel Krishna is only with me. Krishna could perfectly reciprocate, and that's Krishna. Nobody can do that. Only Krishna can be happy with everybody. But a devotee who surrendered to Krishna, and to the extent he surrendered, to that extent, he can deal with all varieties of people. Not only deal with them, but reciprocate with them in the right way. So it all boils down to how intensely Krishna conscious we are. And that's why you see these wonderful leaders, and I'm forced to just, you know, when I'm observing in this temple, you know, what we, I mean, I'm so amazed to see the example of Shruti Dharma Prabhu, that this man, he can deal with any type of people expertly. And it is not that he has done some study of the psyche of a person. He is just downright Krishna conscious, very simple. And not just one example, but everywhere when we see these expert leaders, spiritual masters, senior personalities, how are they expert? Because it's just that they are Krishna conscious. And because they're Krishna conscious, you know, they have this wonderful art within them to deal with everybody, so they can deal expertly with a particular gender, they can get expertly with a particular caste, particular country, a particular age group, everybody. So that's the quality of Krishna to reciprocate. So we must understand that if we need to learn the art of dealing, and Krishna consciousness is all about ultimately dealings. What is Krishna consciousness about? It is not about shastric knowledge. You could be a pandit, just gathering all data of shastras. But ultimately it all boils down to relationship. Because Radha Madan Mohan, what is the name of Radha Mohan? It is called Sambandh Adi Dev Murti. That Madan Mohan, we re-establish our relationship with Krishna. And if you want to water the root, he said that if you want to satisfy Krishna, you would simply water the root. Krishna is like the root. Krishna is the mula. But you see this very interesting phenomenon which happens, that if you water the root, how do you water the root? Do you dig the soil and go to the root and have a syringe, put water in the root? No. Even though we say that we simply need to water the root, but what do you do actually? You water the soil. And through the soil, it goes to the root. Similarly, what is the soil? The soil are the Vaishnavas. You can approach the root, which is Krishna, through the soil of the Vaishnavas. And all our Krishna consciousness is nothing but how we deal with Krishna through the Vaishnavas. It's all about dealings. It's how we reciprocate. And each devotee is going to be different. You can't expect, because Krishna has created each one differently. That's if you want to blame, then blame Krishna. That why Krishna has created everybody different. But the fact is, Krishna has created everybody different, and you need to learn to relate to each and every person differently. And to the extent we are Krishna conscious, to that extent we can relate with everybody wonderfully. And the example of Prabhupada. And the second thing I want to just share in the last 1 minute is that Krishna is constantly reciprocating with the devotees. And in our journey to the kingdom of God, many times when you're on a journey, you get diverted by many things that come on the road. And a devotee's journey is to the kingdom of God, to Goloka Vrindavan. But as we are doing this journey, we could get attracted to name, fame, adoration and distinction. Because that boards come, hey, Shidamadas, get this fame. Hey, get this name, get this followers. The all board comes, and they have board with little LEDs blasting on you on this road. And sometimes we get, oh, this is very attractive. So, you know, journey on the kingdom of God, if you want name, fame, adoration, distinction, the Krishna unfortunately will say, oh, if this is what you want, this is what you get. And you might be doing bhakti, you might be chanting Hare Krishna, but the result of chanting Hare Krishna, which actually should be love of God, but that same chanting Hare Krishna, if the desire is that you want name, fame, adoration, distinction, Krishna, who's this verse is so wonderfully saying, he reciprocates with everybody. Even though Krishna feels very sad, but he says, oh, if you want name, fame, adoration, distinction, then believe me, there cannot be a better place to get name, fame, adoration, distinction than any spiritual organization. There cannot be, because you get profuse name, fame, adoration, distinction. You know, you find some sadhus who are, they're the richest people in the world. They're sadhus, but rich people. Nothing against wealth. But If they want, sadhus want wealth, then they get wealth. There's the people, if you want followers, you could have n number of followers. If that is what you want, Krishna will give you that. But a devotee is not satisfied with just wealth. Chetamapu says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavita va jagadish kamaye. You might get this as part of your service and you will accept it as a service. But ultimately, devotee is never wanting to be satisfied with anything else but unalloyed, uninterrupted, loving, devotional service. And Krishna, if you want that, Krishna is ready to give you that. But Krishna will not give that easily. Where Krishna, when Krishna gives you unalloyed, uninterrupted, loving, devotional service, what Krishna is giving you is Himself. You become, Krishna is controlled by those devotees. And Krishna will not allow that to be given to any Tom, Dick and Harry. You will need to pay a price for that. So Krishna is reciprocating this time in memorial. Let us all purify our hearts and ask for the right thing. And when you ask for the right thing, Krishna is eager to give it to us. But be very careful. Let's not get diverted on the in our journey and ask for the wrong things, because the fact is, you know, Krishna will supply you that if that is what you want. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaur Premanandi.